Hello, I'm your host Ryan, and welcome to a very special installment of Fingering the Pulse. Today's episode was inspired by a thought-provoking tweet from Twitter user @SomboyedCore, comparing believers of the pro-Trump, anti-deep state, pedophile ring conspiracy theory QAnon to a modern-day real-life demonstration of Robert Nozick's philosophical thought experiment, The Experience Machine, in action. With The Machine, Nozick sought to disprove hedonism as a preferable way of life through the invention of a simulated reality indistinguishable from our own. We're given the opportunity to unplug from our real lives and live within this controlled environment of the machine, we would not do it on the grounds that there's inherent value in reality and all of its natural experiences itself. However, with the amount of QAnon followers rising every day, a group whose beliefs range anywhere from the existence of a political and social elite pedophile ring, kidnapping hundreds of thousands of children a year to torture and harvest adrenochrome, a hormone that acts as a sort of elixir of life to them, to the supposed arrest and execution of numerous elites that have now been replaced with clones, all capped off with faith in President Donald Trump as a god emperor sent to drain the swamp from the inside as part of his ultimate act, the Storm. That's all a lot to take in, so I went straight to the source and brought on the author of that original tweet in to get his thoughts on this mess.
Hello, I am August. I am a 19-year-old from sunny California. I am Samoyed Core, Samoyed like the dog, Core like Core on Twitter. I run a blog of the same name, Samoyed Core with the dot before the RE, where I document Twitter drama. It takes up most of my life and I get very little money from it.
For context, I'll now read August's original tweet that sparked this conversation. Quote, "I'm so envious of QAnon people, because they also think the world is going to shit, but they're also so good at making shit up as a cope. It's non-stop free serotonin for them. They lose all their meaningful social ties and are completely detached from reality, but in exchange, it's non-stop pleasure and excitement on demand. This is as close to the experience machine as we get." Given that we can both agree that the world is just overall in a pretty shitty state right now, if such an experience machine and all of its associated pleasures were to exist, would you give up your normal current life to plug into it?
Yeah, it's definitely tempting for that reason, because ultimately it's the best position I find so far to take on the nature of reality is a phenomenalistic one, where if I can't tell the difference, what's the point? But at the same time, there's a sort of tugging within me where a lot of what I do is, I at least like to think a lot of what I do is for the sake of others. Kind of turning point in my development in my formative years was when I was about 12 or 13 and Ferguson was just starting to kick off. And I remember that it was just so unconscionable to me that I would be like lying awake at night and it would be extremely difficult for me to sleep just knowing that all that injustice was going on out there and I wasn't able by nature of my position or anything like that. I mean, I was only a 12-year-old to affect it positively in any way. And it was just sort of paralyzing to me to know that. It's an Epicurean viewpoint. I'm very much pleasure-oriented, but I get you could argue that maybe this is something instilled through capitalism or the American idealized Protestant work ethic or something like that. I feel like the pleasure that I could receive from a given thing isn't really worth it unless I feel like I've earned it in some way. And I guess to make it more personal at myself, I would argue that in that sense is because working for it or feeling like I've worked for it makes it more personal as far as the pleasure goes. So it's not just pleasure that's being handed out willy-nilly, that I've tailored the pleasure to myself and is more satisfying because I'm the one who put in the work, whether or not I actually did put in that work or not, to receive it. So that's what makes it feel more rewarding ultimately, not some shit about like adversity or I had to grind for this view or anything like that. It's purely about what pleasure means to me specifically, and in this case it's about aligning with my personal ethical viewpoints and inclinations.
So So how did we end up here with the rise of QAnon? Like, what got you into doing more research about it personally, and why do you think the ideology behind it has stuck?
There was this list that came to my attention. It was making the rounds on the more irony-oriented side of left Twitter, and it was this entire list of famous celebrities who had been arrested / executed, most of them. Not all of them had been full arrested, executed. For instance, Bernie Sanders had only been arrested and then sent to Gitmo, things like that. But one of the things that stood out, one of the few things that I remember, because the list was huge, absolutely so long, was that the entire cast of Friends was there. So it was David Schwimmer, arrested, executed, Lisa Kudrow, arrested, executed, and so on, and Matthew LeBlanc, executed, arrested, and executed. And what I later learned, what we'll get to, is that this was all for adrenochrome, because they had been harvesting the adrenochrome children to prolong their life indefinitely, which made it very odd that the one Friends cast member who wasn't there was Jennifer Aniston. The one person you'd think would be using adrenochrome was not there. So I found that very interesting. And back when I made that post, it was an early morning, and I just got this idea that popped into my head again, where I decided to quote mark search the exact string arrested, executed, to see who else was in on this conspiracy. And I just found these huge lists, and they were all relatively matching up with each other. So it wasn't just one fluke. It's this entire part of the QAnon community who believe that these huge amounts of public figures and celebrities and other influential people had all been arrested / executed in Trump's quest to save America. And I was just thinking that QAnon is this whole reaction to the fact that we live in a decaying empire and a decaying world order. And this is the way that people who were raised in the Cold War and raised with sort of after the Cold War end of history ideas to cope with the fact that things aren't shaking out like they were told they were going to shake out, that America is this near unsalvageable wreck, and that the world order is rapidly degenerating and things are just breaking left and right. And the only way they know how to rationalize that is by making up this massive conspiracy where we're all under the sway of one centralized satanic pedo cabal.
Now, thankfully, I don't personally know anyone that is a believer in Q, but that ideology just spreads quickly on sites like Facebook and obviously preys heavily on older folks that may not understand they're being fed a constant stream of misinformation. So could heavier social media regulation be the best way to suppress Q-aligned ideology from spreading, or is it really just a lost cause at this point?
At this point, it's a lot of a lost cause, but they could, because the echo chambers are cemented, now they've got their own platforms to spread this stuff. But it certainly wouldn't hurt for them to crack down more on it. Twitter is barely cracking down on it. All they're doing is just banning the ones who are a bit more inflammatory or out there with the rhetoric, and then appending annotations on the more factually untrue tweets so people can say, this is factually untrue. And for people who already hate Twitter, it's like, oh, of course you'd say that. You're the deep state. But it certainly wouldn't hurt to shut down that dissemination of information, because another part of that whole distinction between the people who are the super devoted, buying in, central people, and the people who are more on the outer rim, is that the people on the outer rim got there through just getting a trickle of information, where not only do they feel that they can ignore the crazier stuff that they've seen, but also a lot of the crazy stuff in the first place isn't really making it through to them. So they're just getting these little bits, and that's enough to get them into the whole movement. So while it is a lost cause for stamping out the entire sort of QAnon thing as one massive thing, it would definitely go a long way in stymieing its growth for social media companies to actually be more proactive about censorship here. And I don't take that lightly, because I'm barely even comfortable with sort of hate speech regulations, because I feel like the moment they feel satisfied with whatever tokenistic hate speech approach they've taken to the right wing, they're immediately going to turn it on the left wing and we're going to rue it. But for QAnon, I feel a lot more unconditional about that, where it's a very dangerous thing. And it's been very sad for a lot of people like you. I don't have anyone in my family who's bought into that, but it's been very sad for a lot of people to have to experience seeing their loved ones who are lonely and scared just buy into that and be preyed upon by the cultish movement of QAnon. So that's why I definitely believe that more measures, more proactive measures should be taken, even if it's a bit too late.
I'd like to extend a special thanks to my guest August for their time. My name is Ryan, and this has been Fingering the Pulse.